Let's think about what God has done. I would wager that his top news story is still that the free salvation through the blood of Jesus Christ is available to all. I wager that will be the top news story until that salvation is no longer available. You will have made your decision for eternity. He doesn't ask us to do anything he won't, and then he does above what we can possibly do.
Hear Todd Herman on A Disciple's View, weekdays 12 p.m. Central on AFR.
Welcome to Today's Issues, offering a Christian response to the issues of the day. Here's your host, Tim Wildman, president of the American Family Association.
Hey, good morning, everybody, and welcome to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Thanks for listening to AFR on this Wednesday, October the 23rd, 2024. We hope you are having a good morning. I'm Tim Wildman again with Ed Vitagliano. Good morning, Ed.
Good morning, Tim.
Wesley Wildman.
Good morning.
And Fred Jackson.
Howdy there.
Good morning.
Good to Fred. Be here.
And we thank everybody for listening to AFR. We got so much to talk about today. I don't know if we'll get to it all, but, as everyone knows, 2 weeks from yesterday is election day. And, we've got presidential elections, of course, taking most of the news headlines, right?
It is. We're, taking the temperature, and the temperature is fluctuating.
Well, and also, too, in a lot of the states, there's early voting taking place right now.
Which is a big story.
Yep, that's a big story.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I've said many times on here, you need to vote early.
And?
Often.
Thank you.
Got to make up for the Democrats.
That's right.
I apologize. For yeah. I should not have said that.
That was a lot of
Wesley didn't set
there.
Me up for that joke.
No, I didn't.
He didn't.
No, but I didn't stop you either.
No. We all hope and pray it's an honest election, and there's integrity to it, and
hopes that the things that we learned from 2020, some of those were fixed. Hopefully, for 2020.
I think they were. I know people disagree with this. I've talked to people who go, "Hey, there's no hope for Trump because they're Democrats are cheating."
Yeah.
Let's wait and see, okay, how everything goes.
Also, too, we've talked about this before, and then...
You didn't say that. Wesley didn't say that. I had a friend outside the ministry who said that.
Even though, are you implying that sounds like something I would say?
Well, you...
No, you started talking right after he said
Yes, like you were confessing. Like
you were explaining why maybe he had
This is why it takes all of us.
Well, and Wesley, you are... And this is not a character flaw, necessarily. You are given to conspiracies from time to time. That
there's people way worse than me.
But you know,
let's not talk about my son now.
Who's a friend of mine, right?
Hey, Tony hosted the show yesterday.
Yeah, you co-hosted.
How'd that go?
He did good. He did well.
Yeah.
And
all right.
But I did. It feels funny because I was saying, I said, well, Tim's out, Wesley's out, right. Ray Pritchard's out, Fred's out. And we are really scraping the bottom of the barrel today, folks.
Well, that's a way to introduce your son.
Yeah.
Build his self-esteem.
I'm just setting him up to be ready for criticism.
There you go.
All right, Fred, what's the first story you got for us?
Well, we're going to deal with some media stories today about the election campaign. There's one that a lot of people are talking about this morning. The Atlantic publication online, mainly, I guess it would be, very liberal. Would lean heavily Democrat. What people are talking about is a story written by Jeffrey Goldberg, who is editor-in-chief of The Atlantic. He did a story on former President Trump's interaction with the family of 20-year-old Vanessa Guillen. She was the daughter of Mexican immigrants who was murdered in April 2020 by a fellow soldier at Fort Hood. You may remember that story, very tragic. Well, in Goldberg's story yesterday, he says that Trump consoled Guillen's family at the White House. There's actually a picture of them in the Oval Office, and offered to provide financial assistance to cover the funeral costs. But according to Goldberg's story, He says Trump became enraged when he got the bill for the funeral, refusing to pay it, saying it doesn't cost $60,000 to bury, and then he used an expletive and then said Mexican. Now, that is Goldberg's story. The lawyer for the Gillian family and family members are 100% denying the truth of that story that Goldberg has published out there. The lawyer for the family,
excuse me, just a minute, Fred. Sorry for interrupting. It's rare. But I got to ask you, and maybe I missed it right there. Who heard this? Who supposedly heard this?
This is a story published in The Atlantic.
Yeah, but he's asking who allegedly
who's the source?
Heard Trump say it doesn't cost $60,000 right. to bury him.
I am led to believe that the source is anonymous at this point. Mm-hmm. However, I want you to listen to what the lawyer for the family is saying, Natalie Guawam. She is quoted in a story this morning on Fox News. She is saying, after having dealt with hundreds of reporters in my legal career, this is unfortunately the first time I have to go on record and call out Jeffrey Goldberg, The Atlantic. Not only did he misrepresent, all right, so she was interviewed for this.
Okay.
All right. Misrepresent our conversation, but he outright, and I'm quoting her here, lied in his sensational story. And she's writing this on X. More importantly, he used and exploited my clients and Vanessa Gillian's murder for cheap political gain. I would like to also point out that the timing of this story is quite suspicious since this murder took place 4 years ago. Also quoted in this Fox story is Gillian's sister, Myra Gillian, and if I'm mispronouncing that name, forgive me. She said, wow, I don't appreciate how you are exploiting my sister's death for politics. Hurtful and disrespectful to the important changes she made for service members. President Donald Trump did nothing but show respect to my family and Vanessa. In fact, I voted for President Trump today. My sister's death was never to be politicized. Unbelievable, she wrote in a separate post. So the question is, why would The Atlantic, why would Goldberg write such a thing, knowing that all of these people are totally denying what he is saying? Why would he feel comfortable doing that? Also in this Fox story, the chief of staff at the time for Trump, Mark Meadows, he says, I was in the discussions featured in The Atlantic's latest hit piece against President Trump. Let me say this. Any suggestion that President Trump disparaged Ms. Gillian or refused to pay for her funeral expenses is absolutely false. He was nothing but kind, gracious, and wanted to make sure that the military and the U.S. government did right by Vanessa Gillian and her family. So a couple of questions. Like the lawyer said, why would they write this story now, 4 years after the incident? And also, did Goldberg not talk to these family members? It seems to be the case. He may have talked to the lawyer, but the family members are totally denying this. So why would he do it?
And also the Atlantic piece apparently made charges about the conversation that President Trump had with the family on the phone as well. And that's why the people in the family of the person who was killed are saying, no, that's not the way the conversation went at all. Yeah. So it's not just that the family is saying, I don't believe President Trump would ever say that in private. They would say that, but they wouldn't know what the president might have said to someone else. Part of what this article was talking about is trying to characterize what Trump said to the family on the phone. And the family is saying, no, he never said anything like that.
No. I'll tell you, I'll answer your question for you, Fred. You want me to answer it for you?
Go for it.
The Atlantic is a very liberal news magazine. The idea of Trump winning presidency is repulsive to them. So they are trying to make Trump look bad in a news story they hope will go viral. and
less than 2 weeks or 2 weeks before the election.
He's hoping this becomes the quote October surprise.
Right.
I'm guessing it. Listen, what you described, Fred, is poor journalism, to say the least. If, in fact, this guy is misrepresenting, the families are saying Trump didn't behave or act or talk like you're saying he did when he met with us, right?
Mm-hmm.
Right. When he talked with us on the phone, he was only respectful. So what is this guy, what's his name?
Goldberg.
What is he going
Jeffrey
on?
Jeffrey Goldberg.
That's my question to you earlier. What is he going? Who is his source to say any differently than what the families are saying here?
I guess he has an anonymous source.
That's
right?
Not good enough.
That's not
for something like this.
You no. can't,
and you're but, the and you're the editor of the magazine.
But having talked to the lawyer for the family, who is denying the story, that even more. If you're talking to the lawyer and the lawyer is saying what all of this is just false, you have family members saying it's totally false. In fact, one family member said, "I went out and voted for Donald Trump today."
Yeah, this, anyway, listen, Trump, he can do damage on his own to himself. We all know that with his mouth.
Right.
But to say stuff that he supposedly he said, and you don't, as serious and as critical and as vulgar as this kind of accusation is, and to not have a tape or a couple of sources is just, to me, completely and totally irresponsible. And it's kind of like what they did back 4 years ago when they didn't run the Hunter Biden laptop story. The mainstream media, remember that? They covered because they didn't want to hurt Biden's chances to win. This is the same type thing.
Yeah.
I think this is just their open bias. What do you think?
Well, and then there were on-the-record denials for Mark Meadows and Kash Patel, who's the I'm looking here now. It says former chief of staff of then acting defense secretary Christopher Miller. So those were on the record denials that Trump ever said any such thing. So it's one anonymous source against all these other people who would know.
Including the family members.
Including the family members.
I'm going to go with the family members.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Hey, has there been an opportunity at this point? Has the timeline gone so far that it allows the Atlantic to respond to the family members? You know what I mean?
Well, this is new. This is all new. So whether they write something in response to the firestorm, well, I guess that remains to be seen.
But yeah, I guess I'd just be curious at this point. When you're exposed publicly, how do you respond? Like, oops, I got this wrong? Or at this point, without their response, it appears to be as they just lied.
Well, the thing is, the family members are talking about this.
Yeah.
So this begs the question, has a reporter, did you try to get a hold of the family members?
Oh, sure.
Yeah.
Did you try to talk to them?
And this guy's editor. He needs to answer those kind of questions. I hope, maybe we'll see that today. Next story.
Other media type stories. We know that the mainstream media has been all in for the Democratic Party. I mean, I read Associated Press every day.
Four decades.
And this has been proven. Pew Research has done that.
Oh, yeah.
90% of the reporters say they vote Democrat.
Yeah.
So it is a little curious at this point. We're starting to see examples, and I'm going to play you some examples from CNN and NBC, where Vice President Kamala Harris, her running mate Tim Walz, are being challenged in interviews on these liberal networks as to the facts of their story. So I want to play you first. This is an interview CNN has done with Tim Walz, who said more manufacturing jobs have been created under the Biden administration than were ever created under the Trump administration. CNN does a fact check on this, and I want to play what the fact checker had to say about this. Cut number 5.
We want to make sure that you're able to bring manufacturing like Kamala Harris has did. We know Donald Trump lost more manufacturing jobs than any president in American history.
Yep.
That's simply factual.
Well, if you're going to say something is simply factual, it should be factual. This is not. It's not true that the Trump presidency lost more manufacturing jobs than any other presidency. Pre-pandemic, under Trump, there was a gain of about 414,000 manufacturing jobs. Again, he ended a negative 178,000, but that was largely because we had a pandemic-related crash.
So kudos to CNN. They just fact-checked what Tim Walz was saying was the fact. And we've heard this before.
Oh, listen, Kamala Harris has mentioned this during the debate. She mentioned this. I've heard her say this on the campaign trail. They always talk about Trump's economic record or during the pandemic.
Yep.
That's what they as if the other 3.5 years before that didn't even exist.
It's insulting to the general public because we all know both sides that whoever was in office when the pandemic took place, all things went down.
Right.
I mean, no matter where it was, we can all debate. Well, it would have if Republicans are there, we think the numbers would have been better. Or if the Democrats in there, the numbers would have been lower. Either way, even if the Democrats were in there and the economy wasn't as good as it was under Trump, or vice versa, either case, whoever was in the White House when the pandemic hit, everybody had bad numbers after that.
Right. And the other side of it is, and this is goes to your point about the lying that's going on, is that Harris and Biden-Harris are claiming that they were like magicians and bringing all these jobs back.
They created
these jobs, yeah. And everybody knows those are just people going back to work after the shutdown.
And the funds ran out from the government.
Anyone, politician or pundit or whatever, that talks about economic numbers and they happen during COVID, and they don't mention that as a major factor in those economic numbers, be they good or bad.
That's right.
It is speaking dishonestly.
Yes.
Because a lot of the jobs that Biden and Harris say they, quote, created were bounce back jobs from COVID shutdowns. And we all know that. So when they say, look at the jobs we created, and you don't say, but you know, most of these were bounce back jobs, and we acknowledge that. If they don't say that, then they're intentionally trying to mislead people.
CNN fact checker that was there, his name was Daniel Dell.
Daniel Dell. Well, good for Daniel Dell.
Yeah. Daniel Dell.
Daniel Dell fact checking.
We got a petition going out this afternoon to support Daniel Dell.
Hope he finds a new job.
Yes. Well, I think it is highly unusual for the liberal media. And this gentleman may not be liberal. I don't know how this fellow here.
Says CNN fact checker. So.
Fact checker. So he's, what I'm saying is he is, it's rare that you liberal. See them fact check a Democrat on a national platform like that.
All right.
We have another example, don't we?
Yes, another example. NBC. Not known to be, nice to Trump at all. NBC in an interview, and I believe the interview was done by Haley Jackson. No connection. Haley Jackson. NBC's Haley Jackson.
Full disclosure.
Full disclosure.
No connection to the Fred Jackson
family. Hi, Mom.
No.
She pressed, she had an interview with Vice President Kamala Harris. She really pressed Kamala Harris on why didn't you say something about President Biden's mental decline.
If you see something, say something.
Yeah, if you see something, say something. Have a listen to this portion of that interview.
All right, hold on, Fred.
Yeah.
People, stop what you're doing right now. Okay. You're about to hear a classic. This is going to go to the top of the charts in the Kamala Harris
book. Legacy.
Legacy. You know, she has a top 10 greatest hits.
And this is in the top 10.
Kind of like Taylor Swift. You know, I'm going to say a top 10 greatest hits. And I think for Kamala Harris, the vice president, this one is going to shoot to the – it's headed for gold.
Yes.
Right?
It's a gold.
A gold record.
Right.
Okay. We present to you, ladies and gentlemen, the vice president of the United States.
Defended him in the days before and in the days after as you were campaigning for another 4 years for President Biden. Can you say that you were honest with the American people about what you saw in those moments with President Biden as you were with him again and again, repeatedly in that time?
Of course. Joe Biden is an extremely accomplished, experienced, and capable in every way that anyone would want if they're president.
And you never saw anything like what happened at the debate night behind closed doors with him?
It was a bad debate. People have bad debates.
Should he?
He is absolutely.
But that's the reason why you're here, and he's not. running for the top of the ticket.
Well, you'd have to ask him if that's the only reason why.
What do you think?
I am running for president of the United States. Joe Biden is not.
I just think that was pure. That was Kamala Harris.
It made my day.
I was very satisfied with that.
Yes.
Very satisfied.
And listen, again, tip of the hat to Haley Jackson.
Yeah. NBC.
NBC. She's said an NBC reporter and a network anchor.
Yes.
For NBC. She had hard questions. And look, I don't know how Kamala Harris has not had an answer for that. I mean, how do you not prepare for that question? I guess because nobody's been asking it.
Sometimes, this is my opinion, not yours, but sometimes, to me, people might disagree with it, the best answer is just to shoot straight. Just say what we all know and try to move on. What Kamala Harris should say to the question about, did you not see Biden in decline before the debate, is I would say, yes, I did. I was worried about it, as were others, but what are we supposed to do? He's the top dog. So are we supposed to go out and have press conferences against our boss? No, we're not supposed to do that. We were just hoping that he would make it through and he would not have his bad moments, but obviously he was going downhill. What's wrong with saying that?
Well, a number of things. First of all, my next question, again, we don't know what
you mean. If she said that,
I would say that's what the 25th Amendment is for. You and others knew that the president.
I'm going to play the part of her. I would say if I were her.
So you knew the president of the United States was in cognitive decline.
I had to get a copy.
Well, that is playing.
I'm going to be serious. Go ahead.
That he was in cognitive decline. He's in charge of the nuclear weapons of the most powerful military.
What do you want me to do about it?
Invoke the 25th Amendment
against my boss.
Yes.
Who does that?
Well, that would have been for the good of the country, Madam Vice President.
No, y'all
care more about your
forgetting
election.
This, guys. None of this matters because what happened was if she answered in your way.
What I said?
What you said in any form, then now she's admitting that she's a liar. Because you got to remember,
that's true as well.
Because all the way for months leading up to this, she was asked this and she said all is well. So at this point, if she were to change her mind, she'd be a liar.
Her political career would be over.
Yeah.
Either way, if she arranged for the invocation,
well, we all know what I said is what happened.
Yes.
Yes. No.
Yeah. And I believe that if she would have said that early on, hey, look, we understand what's going on. It may be true, but at this point. She's proven.
I would just say
publicly.
I would just say, yeah, he was in cognitive decline, but it wasn't so bad that we noticed that he needed to be removed from office.
She could have. Yeah, she could have said
that. That would have been a safe one.
Huh? That's a safe one. She could have said, "I'm not a doctor." His doctor kept telling us that he was okay.
Yeah,
yeah. We had concerns.
That's what I would have said.
But I'm not a doctor, and
she did. She. But go ahead, Fred.
There's another question here that we haven't asked yet. Why all of a sudden are the media asking these tough questions and fact-checking? The fact-checking of Tim Walz could have been done months ago.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Why are they doing it now? The tough question from NBC's Haley Jackson, why now?
Yeah, and we've got another one, don't we? Do we have the transgender question?
We don't have the transgender one, but interview.
Yeah.
Here's my theory. The mainstream media is smelling the Democrats are in trouble. And they want to now to be able to say, bad candidates.
It's not our ideas.
It's not our ideas. Policies. It's bad candidates.
I think it's that, Fred. I also think some things are so obvious, you have to ask them.
For the point of your credibility.
You have to press them if you want any credibility at all.
Especially what CBS is going through.
Yes.
NBC and CNN don't 60 want...
60 Minutes?
Yeah, they don't want to get stuck with people going... Hey, what's up with you guys?
Hey, listen, there's no question the liberal mainstream media, they're in full panic mode
right
now. And
we need Kamala to keep doing interviews.
Be back.
Could the fate of America's children be tied to the fate of our nation? Much like abortionists who end the lives of the unborn, the left is determined to undermine the pro-life movement. First, they target the babies. Then, they come for the rest of us. Preborn stands as a beacon of hope for the most defenseless among us, preborn babies. Every day, Preborn's network of clinics rescues, on average, over 200 babies while surrounding expectant mothers with God's love and offering a free ultrasound. Rescuing the miracle of life has never been more crucial as we navigate this time of moral decline in our nation. Will you join Preborn in protecting the least among us? For just $28, you can sponsor an ultrasound and give a mother the chance to choose life, not only for her baby, but for herself. An ultrasound doubles a baby's chance at life. To donate securely, dial #250 and say the keyword baby. That's #250, baby. Or go to preborn.com. That's preborn.com/AFR. That's preborn.com/AFR.
This is Today's Issues. Email your comments to comments@AFR.net. Past broadcasts of Today's Issues are available for listening and viewing in the archive at AFR.net. Now, back to more of Today's Issues.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, to Today's Issues here on the American Family Radio Network. Tim, Ed, Wesley, and Fred, and we thank you again for listening. Election Day, 2 weeks from yesterday, and Fred, we will be here
on election night.
On this very place on the dial or on your app, right? On election night?
At 6 o'clock Central is when the program launches, and we're starting at 6 o'clock because that's when on the East Coast, there's a bunch of states that are in the Eastern time zone.
Yeah.
That will have their first results. And there's six or seven states, I believe it is, at least, that'll have the first results.
By what time?
6 o'clock Central. 6 o'clock Central, because polls on the East Coast,
that's right.
7 o'clock Eastern time zone. So we'll be here. And so it won't be just speculating at that point, folks. We'll be telling you what's going on.
You're not going to want to miss this either. We'll be streaming it, right?
Yes.
Okay, Walker and I are going to arm wrestle. So we'll,
excellent.
Yeah, you're not going to want to miss that. So for those that,
you're going to arm wrestle.
Yeah, Walker Wildman, my brother, and I will be on, and we like
to give
each other a hard time.
Can people place bets on that?
Yeah.
On our AFR website?
We have,
is for entertainment purposes only.
That's right. You know, UFC category, and then we have our own version. That's the Christian version.
Okay.
Folks, if I were a bet man, I would guess that he's kidding.
Yes, that's right.
If you were a betting man.
I was going to suggest if it was true that one wear blue shirt, the other one a red shirt.
All right.
You know? And then we may get creative.
Then we'll say who's going to win the election based on who wins that.
Yeah.
Remember they used to have
like a Groundhog Day.
They used to have an octopus or something, I think, until it died. You remember this octopus? It would come out and whichever side of
like
the
Groundhog
tank,
Day with the
yeah
with
whichever
the hedgehog,
side of the tank
whatever,
it would come out on
groundhog.
Would determine I think who's going to win the Super Bowl but things
it's,
like that
yeah
I think it's
scientific
you've lost me
no it was an actual octopus and it would be released inside a tank. And then whatever side,
did you
and
go
it was
through a period of taking drugs. I mean, that's okay.
Listen,
everybody has their.
It predicted the winner every time.
No.
Yes. All right.
Maybe
win.
The winner, but the but.
Well,
the
I'm sorry. I should doubt you.
Or the winner.
You're not
similar.
You've known me long enough.
Well, Hold on.
I just don't remember anything like that. But you know, you could be right.
Are
you
saying winter or winner?
Octopus. Predicting Super Bowl.
Okay, you're saying the winner.
I'm looking at what Ed's talking about. An octopus in a popular, this is AI generated, right?
Paul the Octopus. He died in 2010.
Oh, wow.
That's the one that predicted the results of soccer matches. Rocky the Octopus predicts Super Bowl 46 winner. Went 4-for-4 on the Super Bowls.
My apologies, Ed. I doubted you.
To Tim, Fred, and Wesley, and probably Brent, here's what I'd like to say. Booyah.
Well, that's a good Christian attitude.
I would have received that more
right?
Better.
Booyah?
You would know the original statement if you would have said that the octopus predicted the weather, like winter.
Oh,
cold,
okay.
But you said winner.
Like winner.
And
like
then the I'm out. I had to have that to believe you.
Right.
So I appreciate you.
Sure. Absolutely.
Now, Tim, how are you going to segue into our guest?
We're segueing. We're going to segue. Well, there are octopuses all off the coast of Florida.
Some of them have washed up lately.
Yes. So joining us from the Sunshine State, but not an octopus.
No.
Is Jenna Ellis. Jenna is a host of Jenna Ellis in the Morning, 7 to 8 o'clock Central Time, right here on American Family Radio. And good morning, Jenna.
Good morning. And I actually have a great octopus quick joke for you, because did you know that lawyers are often called sharks, and the best among us lawyers are called squids or octopi, because those are the only things that kill sharks.
Oh, well,
thank you, JJ.
Except
Jasper.
I think orcas can take them down too.
Yeah, orcas can take anything.
But anyway, get the point. Well. I gave Abraham Hamilton III. I had a book somebody sent me that I looked through and read a couple of years ago, whenever it was, maybe not even that long. Anyway, so I gave it to Abe. Jenna, you'll be glad to know the title of it was "Lawyers and Other Reptiles."
That's great, because you know what you call 100,000 lawyers at the bottom of the sea?
A good start.
A good start.
Oh, that's bad.
Shakespeare, first kill all the lawyers. So,
that's
you
bad.
Know.
Okay, if you keep going. Anyway.
I'm just saying, I love lawyer jokes. Yeah, they're often true. And actually, the best one for our conversation today is the true definition of politics. Have you heard this one?
No.
Poly meaning many. And ticks meaning blood-sucking parasites.
Hey. Oh, wow. I like that.
Well.
What is the opposite of Congress?
Yeah. What?
Progress.
Progress. Oh, okay.
Anyways,
okay.
All right, I'm done.
Yeah, bada boom. Okay,
booyah.
So.
Booyah. I heard that one was in favor now.
Okay, so Jenna, on a more serious note, in Florida on Election Day, not only do we have a Senate race going on, a U.S. Senate race, you have the presidential race going on, but also there is what's called Amendment 4 on the ballot. Now, a lot of people listening have heard about this. It's a referendum for the citizens of Florida to decide on what is at stake here. And, Fred, do we need to play before or after Jenna comment?
Before, I think, and
okay,
then Jenna
that would be helpful.
Comment. Yesterday, there was a news conference, and it featured the CEO of the American Association of Pro-Life Obstetricians and Gynecologists. Her name is Dr. Christina Francis, and she talked about Amendment 4 there in Florida, and you have that cut, Brent.
You know, there's a lot of information going around that women can't receive life-saving medical care when they need it because of these laws, and that simply is not true. OBGYNs like me across the country in every state are still able to treat miscarriage, ectopic pregnancy, and other pregnancy complications. We also wanted to convey the true dangers associated with the abortion drugs.
Yeah, and she went on to talk about, too, and we're hearing this story repeated over and over again. They're 10 states with amendments that are being voted on with regards to abortion. But there's a lot of talk about how the language of these amendments by these pro-abortionists, the language is designed to confuse and to kind of lower the temperature that it's not really as bad as those bad pro-lifer people are describing it. And Jenna, that's one of the mistruths that are out there.
What's at stake here, Jenna?
Yeah, absolutely. And you're absolutely right that you know, this is not legislation that can then be tweaked or modified by state representatives later. This is a constitutional amendment. This would cement a so-called right to abortion in the state constitutions. And in Florida, for example, this would provide no limits on abortion and have definitely abortions on pain-capable babies for basically any reason. And the language is very vague, purposefully. And so it says, no law shall prohibit, penalize, delay, or restrict abortion before viability or, and this is the key, because viability isn't even defined, and that's problematic, but this is even worse, or when necessary to protect the patient's health as determined by the patient's healthcare provider. So viability just goes out the window, whatever that means to a court that would have to decide it later. But necessary to protect the patient's health, determined by a healthcare provider under current Florida law, according to Governor DeSantis, that could mean your massage therapist. That could mean literally anyone. And when necessary to protect the patient's health, that's not determined. And so what happens if the patient's mental health and they go to a massage therapist and says, yeah, you know, it'd really help you if you aborted your child in the ninth month of pregnancy. So no law will prohibit that. So this is purposefully vague. It is funded by Planned Parenthood and George Soros. Thankfully, in the state of Florida, we have the one of the highest percentages for state constitutional amendments. It would have to pass by a 60% threshold. And so Governor DeSantis, I was with him and his team yesterday at an event where he is just going across the state to hold these town halls with doctors who oppose this and to tell the truth of what this actually would imply for the state of Florida, because even pro-choice voters in Florida don't want state-funded abortion on demand all the way till the ninth month of pregnancy. So if people are actually educated on the vagary of this language, we're seeing a lot of conversions that even pro-choice voters are saying, no, this doesn't make sense.
This is Wesley here. Jenna, so where would be some of the languages that they give us an example of some of the a portion or a couple examples of the language that they use that makes it deceptive or confusing for people?
Well, so what we just talked about in terms of viability, there's no definition of what that means. There's no definition of patient's health. There's no definition of patient's healthcare provider. And this also would remove parental consent. There would only be a requirement for notification. That could happen after the fact, 10 days after your 12-year-old goes and gets an abortion, or 14-year-old or 17-year-old, the parent gets a letter in the mail that this happened. So, I mean, there are so many problems and implications. And for people who want to learn more, vote no on forflorida.com is the website that has a really great 2-minute video that explains all of this and why this is so extreme and dangerous.
Okay. So, folks, if you have friends or family, if you live, obviously, in Florida, you need to do exactly what Jenna just said. You need to do it now or immediately after the show, because this is critically important to get the word out on how to vote for the pro-life position in 2 weeks. Jenna, so go ahead and give that that out again.
Vote no on 4Florida.com, and it's the number 4. So vote no on 4Florida.com.
Do you know, Jenna, who gets to write the amendment?
You know, that's a great question. And for this one in particular, I'm not sure who all was involved in the language drafting, but this is why understanding the text is so important. And I actually talked about this on my radio show yesterday morning, if people want to listen to the last segment of the show yesterday, because this isn't just on the abortion regulation initiatives. This is actually happening in my former home state of Colorado on their Proposition 80, which is all about school choice. Now, as conservatives and as Christians, we're for school choice. I was homeschooled all the way through. It's a great thing. But the proposition that is on the ballot that was done by really good people, but unfortunately wasn't vetted enough, includes a so-called right to quote-unquote quality education that children would then have a right to in Colorado. And there's no definition of what quality means. So, of course, the government later could come in and say, well, homeschooling isn't a quality education, or religious-based education isn't quality. And so this is why these definitions matter, and why for anyone who is part of these types of drafting of amendments or even legislation, but especially constitutional amendments, have to be so careful about the terms, the text, and especially definitions.
Well, the amendment you read, the Florida amendment that's going to be voted on. Okay, I'm trying to look. I'm passionately pro-life and believe that abortion is the taking of innocent human life. I mean, it's sin. It's an unborn baby, God created. It will live till natural death if left alone. If you don't leave it alone, you go in there and abort it, cut it up. I hate to use those terms, but that's really what happens. You get rid of it. You have to get rid of it, otherwise it becomes is going to come out the birth canal and, right. and live among us. I mean, that's the way. So my point is, but the what you heard, what the way you read that, Jenna, that's very clever, cleverly crafted language. And somebody who didn't understand what was going on, or somebody who was maybe, they even would say, well, I'm against abortion, but man, that sounds so reasonable. Read that text again. And see
right.
Where, go ahead.
So it says, no law shall prohibit, penalize, delay, or restrict abortion before viability
yeah.
or when necessary to protect the patient's health as determined by the patient's healthcare provider.
See
and
it.
The danger here, yeah, is because when we think just in our normal general English communication, protect the patient's health means those life-saving exceptions. Or an ectopic pregnancy, and before viability would mean before pain-capable babies and
yeah.
about, under 12 weeks. But that's not what this is saying.
Yeah. You know what the amendment should say, if I were to write it? It should say that the Florida state legislature has passed a law that protects unborn. You can call them fetuses. That's a scientifically accurate word. The unborn human being that protects from being aborted beyond 6 weeks. Do you agree with this, yes or no? I mean, something like that would be more, you know what I'm saying, would be more accurate to me than the way that's worded. But that's, who wants to talk
well,
here?
I got a question.
Go ahead.
Yeah. My question is it not already against the law, or is it not already people if the health of the mother is at stake, is that not already a thing, for lack of a better word? Like, the doctors not already take
you mean
that
already,
into consideration
even before
yeah,
this
in,
go ahead
in Florida with the heartbeat bill that Governor DeSantis signed, there are those exceptions for rape and incest and also the life of the mother. So those are all, that's already law in the state of Florida. And remember when Kamala Harris is blaming that woman from Georgia who took medication for an at-home abortion and then decided not to seek medical treatment until, mm-hmm. unfortunately,
yep.
it was too late. Well, Governor DeSantis made the point yesterday that any sort of life-saving practice, there's nothing in Florida law that would require a doctor to not provide life-saving care to the mother. That's just patently false. And there is also a difference for when a mother would present at a hospital and the child already dead, like say, unfortunately, a miscarriage. That's not an abortion. And so, of course, you know, DNCs and treating the patient is required
yeah,
under Florida
exactly.
law. So, yeah, so this is completely unnecessary. And Governor DeSantis also makes the point that even pro-choicers who think that a heartbeat bill is too extreme, I would disagree with them, of course, because I think we should have a total abortion ban. But, you know, that's the pro-life position. But even for the pro-choicers who think that, go in and modify that through your state legislature. Because if this passes, then you're taking away your right and the right of future Floridians to weigh in on abortion regulation and change this down the road. And
hey,
so this is the danger of a yeah. constitutional amendment instead of legislation.
All right. So Jenna, let me last question. Cause we're coming towards the end of the segment. So what do you think, just in terms of your general political science knowledge and opinions, what do you think about the referendum process? Our founders never intended us to act like a direct democracy. We have representatives on the state and federal level who we send to our state capital and our national capital to draft laws for us. What do you think about the amendment, the referendum process that is giving us everything from abortion changes to having legalized marijuana? What's your opinion?
And I actually spoke about this on my podcast last week, so listen to On Demand with Jenna Ellis. But I think that the entire process is bad for our process, and I would do away with it. And I think that it is an aspect of direct democracy that, you're right, our founders did not intend in our constitutional republic, because to circumvent the state legislature and our elected representatives with something like modifying the state constitutions is a way that you can completely misinform voters, and to have even a 60% threshold, and some states are even lower than that,
is 50.
Utterly ridiculous.
Almost all of them are 50. I can't think of another 60% threshold.
I mean, but this is why we why we also have the Electoral College, because we don't want to have just the sheer popular vote of a majority. We have these rules and processes for a reason, and the people who've established these types of workarounds are either trying intentionally to circumvent the process, like what Amendment 4 is doing, and Amendment 3 as well in Florida, or like Governor Tim Walz, who's saying, oh yeah, tear down the Electoral College. It's just to game the outcome. And we should, as conservatives, want to stick with our process.
One other thing I want to say here, Jenna, is I want to commend, and I know you're friends with Governor DeSantis and his staff there. He has put the full weight of the office of governor behind the pro-life position here, and he's taken a lot of heat and a lot of criticism for that. Even former President Trump, you know, criticized DeSantis for taking this pro-life position at one time. Now, Trump did change his mind on this, on how he would vote on this amendment. But I'm just saying that there's a lot of pressure on the governor here, and he has been unyielding, and he's been consistent. So I wanted to praise him, that is,
absolutely,
Governor Ron DeSantis, for that. You want to say anything about that?
Absolutely. And I couldn't agree more. I'm very proud to be a resident of the state of Florida and have someone like Governor DeSantis who represents this state. And I only wish that the governors of all 49 other states would have that moral virtue and have the strength and resilience to stand up in the ways that he has, because he doesn't care what the media says about him. He's doing what's right at every single term. And he's also very smart. I mean, the way that he has gone about this in terms of education, litigation, and really just attacking these wrong positions at every viable way possible has been truly remarkable, and he's a great strategist. So I have nothing but respect for him.
Yeah. Thank you, Jenna. We appreciate it. Tell us about the podcast, how people can go and listen. Now, folks, this is separate from Jenna Ellis in the Morning.
Yes.
Radio show.
Very excited. We just launched 2 weeks ago, so you can catch up there on demand with Jenna Ellis. Go to AFR.net, click on the tab for podcasts, and then scroll down to On Demand with Jenna Ellis. And this is a way that we can do a deep dive into just one topic, and it gives a lot more time than the coverage of the news and culture topics of the day that we do in the morning. So it drops every Friday, and last week's was on the Electoral College, so it's kind of a history and then also a rationale for how you need to understand why we have the Electoral College. So looking forward to doing these deep dives weekly. And if you have a topic that you would love for me or me and a guest to cover, then you can reach me, Jenna, at AFR.net, and let me know what you'd like to hear on demand.
Thank you, Jenna. Appreciate it.
Thanks.
Okay, bye-bye. Talking to Jenna Ellis there. Ed, you're going to say?
No, I was just looking to see that if there were two podcasts. You can also get the podcast for Jenna Ellis in the Morning. So if you miss her program, you can also get the podcast for that.
You know, it's going to be interesting to see what happens with Governor Ron DeSantis's career going forward. I'm just wondering, if Trump is elected, may DeSantis take a position in the Trump administration? I don't know. I don't have any inside information there, but he would make a great attorney general.
Mm-hmm. That's a good point. Because obviously if President Trump wins, then J.D. Vance is going to be the vice president, is going to be difficult to unseat.
Nobody will challenge him.
As a favorite to run.
Yeah.
So
you mean in 2028?
In 2028. Yeah. So that's an excellent point, because Ron DeSantis
He has 2 years left.
Yeah. So if he wants to stay politically active, that might be he would be an excellent attorney general.
Yeah, so it'll be interesting to see what happens. Now, of course, Governor DeSantis did challenge former President Trump in the Republican primary, and that didn't work for him at all. It didn't work for anybody.
Right.
Because Trump was just had so big a lead among Republican voters. However, DeSantis did bow out, and then he endorsed Trump.
Right.
And he's been a advocate for Trump since that time,
right,
even though he challenged him in the primaries. Yeah. So anyway,
we really need Amendment 4 to fail in Florida because it needs to be an example, because other states
right.
have gone the other way. Even some red there's obviously the blue states went the wrong yeah. way, but some of the red states did as well. And I think the ones that went the wrong way, we all would have hoped that it's because they confused the language. We hope that it wasn't because that many people were in support of it, as
right.
much as they were confused about the issue. We've had plenty of time, I would like to think, to explain, even though they still confused the issue, they meaning the far left, who was it, Soros and Planned Parenthood is behind.
Oh, yeah,
them.
Big money. A lot of these states, pro-life groups are being outspent 10-1.
10-1, and so they've done a good job on their part making this a very difficult or confusing yeah. thing. So hopefully we've had enough time to offset some of that, I would like to think.
That was cleverly crafted language.
Mm-hmm.
With that amendment, it'll be interesting to see what happens. And I'm with you guys. I'm not a big fan of the statewide referendums on issues. Are we going to vote on everything?
Right.
We just start voting. How about every Friday?
Right.
Every Thursday, everybody in the states just have a slew of 10 things, and we just all
well,
vote
if it's
on them.
Omnibus bill. I'm not in. I'm in. Not in.
Right,
yeah.
Right. Well, we don't even need state legislatures then. You could save all that money. We just all vote on everything every week.
Exactly what the founders did not want.
Right. We'll be back momentarily.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.